San Diego. I'll be at the Grand Comedy Club Friday, October 3rd. Get your tickets now on my website at ryansickler.com.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back, everybody. I'm Ryan Sickler here. Want to say thank you, guys. Thank you for supporting this show. I love doing this show, and it's one you definitely have to watch. And I'm very excited to have this guest on here today with me, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Ireland, back here in the Way Back, Shane Todd. Welcome to the Way Back, buddy.
What's happening?
Thank you for being here. Before we dive into some fun stuff from your past right there, promote everything you'd like, please.
Tea With Me podcast is my weekly pod, ShaneTodComedy.com for tour dates. I've got some specials on YouTube, just Shane Todd on YouTube. You'll find them. That's all I got to plug.
You got to check out Shane's Honeydew podcast. You can see and hear him talking about growing up in Ireland. But I wanted to ask you, we're going to get into that. You said you never sat in the seat in Ireland or in the car, because Jason Ellis swears this didn't exist over in Australia either. What was the first car, family car, you remember?
So I remember. So we never had big family cars because it was just me and my dad, or at my mom's house, it was just like me, my mom, and her husband. But my dad, I remember having the same car. He would just rebuy the same car. Different colors,
like the newer version every time.
Not even the new version. He just, because he was a mechanic as well, he was a little bit, you know, he was a guy who knew how to get deals. Illegal, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Not really illegal, but like he would fix cars a lot. So he knew a lot of car dealers and stuff. So we always had these BMWs. And I don't know what it's called, but if we were to look up like 1994 BMW, we would find this exact kind of car. So that's it.
Top left?
Top left.
That's the 7 Series.
So there was different versions of this out.
Is that the 7 or was that, say, 540?
They altered it slightly every time it came out, but this would have been the older one. And then they continued up to the late 90s. So it was this body style of BMW. So that's what I remembered us having.
That right there. And he would just keep getting that.
And he
same
just
size
kept it.
And everything.
And I'm not a car guy, but I want to buy one of these and just have it, you know, like a nostalgia thing. But I remember always. And my dad would have been like my aunties didn't drive. I have loads of cousins. My dad was like the guy with the car a lot of the time.
Oh, he's the guy with the car.
So he would have taken us out. He would have taken us out. It was a big deal. He would have that's a 5-seater at a push.
Yeah.
You would get 10 of us in there. You know, people
sitting. You put 10 in that car?
Oh, easy. People sitting on people's knees in the back, yeah. People down the footwells, all that sort of stuff. Like when I grew up, like in the 90s, it was a very relaxed attitude, all that kind of stuff in Ireland. Like drink driving didn't really become a big thing until like 2010.
Last year.
Yeah, there was like unwritten rules that were actually the rules, dude. You know, there was like
2010s yeah. late.
Like everybody, like my dad actually, funny enough, was teetotal, but like everybody back then drink and drove. I remember it, like drinking and driving was just not a big deal at all. And then like the police and the government had to kind of sit everyone down and be like, I know we like a drink and this is a good fun, but like we need to all stop this, you know? But I feel like there would have been more accidents since. Everyone was great. Like, it improved. Everyone's driving back then. Yeah. I don't remember any accidents before they really cracked down on
everywhere
that.
Now.
But that was the car we always had. So if we were going on holiday, because growing up, everyone just like, we just went to Irish holidays. We just went.
That's what I wanted to say.
We would say down south. So you're going down to Southern Ireland.
Okay. So you're staying in Ireland.
Yep.
Okay.
You just get in the car.
And where are you going? What's down in Southern Ireland?
Well, we're talking about places, like, I don't know if you've heard of these places, but we're talking about like Donegal. We're talking about Mayo. Donegal is a county in Ireland that has a lot of like small towns and villages. Like, look at that second image there of the mountains and stuff. Any of those. Lots of
that
beaches.
Yeah,
and
click on that one.
Yeah.
This is really what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So to be fair, there's a filter on that.
I'm sure.
There's a filter on that.
But this is what you guys are going down there to do and hang out.
But it's stony beaches and seaside, fish and chips, ice cream. And it's funny now, if I've got to go down to these kind of areas for a show, for a gig, I put it into my sat nav and it's maybe a 5 hour drive. Feels like 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I don't remember ever being on a long car journey. You were totally unaware or excited to go where you were going. There was no such thing as a how long's left of this or this is a long journey. You just ended up there. You just got into my dad's car and we just ended up there.
Also, I think about this all the time too. Like back in the day when, I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s and we would play travel soccer and stuff and they would be like, okay, we're going to go to, you know, Rockville, Maryland to this school here.
Oh, I thought you meant like soccer when traveling. I was like, how big was your dad's car? Wait. I thought you meant you guys would have a little bit of a game in the car
on the way to your place. We're going to
I was
play.
Like, that must have been a big flop.
But back then, there would just be like one dad on the fucking team who knew where that fucking school was.
You know what I mean?
No GPS, no fucking Thomas guide. He didn't call anybody. He's like, I know where that's at. And it would be like 50 minutes away and we'd all follow that guy. And he would be right. And we'd be there early on time and everything. I'm like, how the fuck did we ever do that? Somebody had to know.
Yeah.
Early GPS, we used to call like, hey, where are you? You take a left off of Broadway and a right on Main. Okay. And you hang up. You're like, all right, I know where we're going. You know where to get there? Yeah, I know that part.
Or your dad would just like, because my dad would have a fair idea of how to get to these places.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad thought nothing of like, we couldn't do this nowadays. Just going into a store and asking. And he would get direct like 3 hours worth of directions and he'd remember it. But we don't have that capabilities anymore,
no,
you know?
No.
So this was like, these were the holidays we went on and they were great. Like there'd be sort of small towns and villages you would go to and you'd have like a fun fair there usually. You maybe play a bit of football or soccer and you go to the beach or a lot of times you would go to like caravan parks.
What's a caravan
like
park?
Trailer,
RV park?
Trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And my memories were just, there'd be loads of cousins. And if you type in, we used to go to a place called Achill Island.
The water looks like that too?
No.
Oh,
it's Ireland.
A filter too.
It's Ireland.
I was going to say.
They photoshopped in the blue sky and the sun. Because we don't have
there.
That.
You got that over. You got what looks like outside here today. Yeah.
This is beautiful. This makes me feel like home. I thought you'd done this for me. I was like, this is a beautiful touch. But yeah, this is... Now, if I go to these places now, I appreciate the beauty of it and the mountains and all that kind of thing. As a kid, you don't give a fuck about any
right
of that.
No,
how good are the chips, you know? Mm-hmm. But my memories were, we would have stayed in maybe caravans and stuff and you would stay up late. You were allowed to drink Coke and eat sweets until late. And I remember there's a picture of me that my dad has where I'm just lying asleep on the caravan, like the living room. What would you call like a living room? Like a main room where you sit and watch TV with couches and that
family
kind of
room, living room.
So I'm sleeping on the family room floor because there was a big bed in this caravan. There was maybe like 8 of us cousins in it, you know, top to toe. You're lying here, I'm lying there. And I just didn't make the cut. So I just slept on the middle of the floor. He eventually took me into a different caravan, but they were just the best. They were the best. It was such simple holidays. And I don't, like now if I take my kids away and we're somewhere like this, we'll probably like find out like, is there a soft play nearby? Is there like an outlet we can maybe go to? Can we book them in for this and that? There was with holidays like this, there was no plan. The parents would just leave the kids there. We'll be sitting over here. You guys make your own fun. Go where you like, do whatever you want. It was the best.
Tell me, now you're in Ireland, so what's an international trip for you?
Oh, now we would like most commonly we go to Spain. That's
I would love to go to Spain.
You've never been to Spain?
No, bro.
Oh, it's great.
I've barely been anywhere. I've been
really,
over, yeah.
You've been to Ireland?
Not Ireland. So I will come back to it because I played soccer for the U.S. My brother and I made a developmental team.
Really?
Under 17. Yeah, I was good, bro. All JUCO in college, bro. All JUCO soccer. But we went to, and you may know these, we went and played in the Dana Cup in Denmark.
Right, yeah.
We played in the Thistle Cup in Scotland. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
You do know that one?
Yeah. It's called something else now? Yeah, yeah.
What's it called now?
I don't know. They've got a different name for it, I think. But
so we try out. We go over to, we start in Rotterdam, Amsterdam, or excuse me, Holland. And then we did Holland, Rotterdam. Then we went to like Denmark. We came back to Amsterdam. We did Germany, Belgium. Belgium's first time, like, they were like, we're like, oh my God, we're on a topless beach. And they're like, they're not, no, this is how they do it
here. Yeah, yeah, I'm yeah. Like, oh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're good.
Yeah.
We did Scotland, England, Germany, Belgium, Holland, and the one other country in there. There were six we went to. And we were there for a full month and played soccer. Right. I mean, I tell the story, Shane Todd. We fucking came down the field, kickoff. We scored in like 20 seconds. And we were like, we're going to fuck these kids up. And let me tell you something.
European invasion.
Ready? We never won a game, bro. We got our ass kicked and never won. Not one. For a month, dude.
Yeah.
For a month, they pounded us. We also, to our detriment, realized we can go fucking drink.
Yeah.
And as long as we would get away from the chaperones who would report it, we would go out. We'd take your fucking Subway, whatever, and we'd go drink.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'd run by each other on the field, and I'd be like, good. You just smell Jack Daniels pouring out of people. So we're not at our best, but we got our fucking asses handed to us. And I never had more fun in my life. Like, never stolen in my life, never been a big thief. But when you have the last week, we had no money. We would eat and run. It got so good to us, we started stealing. One kid on our team stole the Denmark flag. That's the other place we went.
For dinner?
He just stole it. And we're like, dude, that's like, imagine if you stole an American flag right now. People from the town were chasing them and shit. It was crazy. Right, it got out of hand. But it was so wild. Like, you know, we're meeting these kids from all over the U.S. And then it got, I still have pictures somewhere where this one kid, I can't believe it ever even happened. We would just sleep in cots at schools and shit. You know, we're playing everywhere. This one kid falls asleep with the old school, those headphones right to your left, as a matter of fact, those yellow ones. And he falls asleep and we're all taking our athletic tape. And there must be 15 of us. And we're just taping them tight to his cot while he's asleep. And he's got the headphones on and the cassette stops. And he doesn't have, this is old, bro. He doesn't have the automatic reverse cassette. You got to open it.
Oh, for sure.
So someone on the team literally opens it, slides it out, turns it over, puts it back in, gently clicks it down, hits play. He doesn't wake up. We finish. And then we just start taking pillowcases full of shit and just beating the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
A better time, wasn't
just
it?
For fun.
You could.
And he's just bucking and we're dying laughing and shit. Oh, dude. I've had a great time.
If that
over
was
there.
Nowadays, he would get $1 million in compensation.
Yeah, yep. And we'd be kicked off, Netflix and then we'd have to make an apology video and everything else. Yeah, no, not over there. That was a wild fucking month.
Yeah.
To be 16 and running through Europe with no supervision.
And you can drink. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like drink. And we're getting our. And we're also, I loved soccer. So to play over there, your shitty fields are like our premier fields.
Right,
when
right.
they would be like, nah, this is a practice pitch. We're like, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is where you practice? Yeah.
You're like, what is this?
What's the fucking
or like grass?
Game field look like? Yeah. Yeah. We would line up in Little League and everything, especially baseball. We'd line up on one team on the third base side, one team on the first base side. We'd walk to the middle just picking out rocks and glass and shit before we play. Right, right.
Spain was the most, Spain is still the most common place people from Ireland and the UK will go on holiday. Like, we go to Mallorca every year with my kids. It's the best.
You still, how far of a flight is it and stuff?
2.5 hours.
That's it. Yeah, God.
Easy. And you breeze in and out. No, like, big immigration. You get your passport stamp, line up, you're in.
You're in.
And it's the best. So Spain's very, very popular. We were going to Tenerife. It was a big place. That's one of the Balearic Islands. Yeah. So if you go, that's
so
second
what, a little
one
island off of Spain?
Yeah. And it's built for tourism.
Wow.
You go to a couple of tourist resorts and you're talking like 25 degrees at least, volcanic sand. So even the sand's warm. It's great. It's great. Do you know what? It would be a little bit like, not as much, but a little bit like you guys going to Orlando a bit.
Yeah.
Very touristy.
Is it muggy?
What does that mean?
Humid?
Yeah, it's humid. Yeah, yeah. But then the first time I went on like a massive holiday was Disney. I think I was 10.
Disney, Florida?
Disney, Florida.
Disney World, bro.
Disney World is right because there's the Paris one, but it's it's fine.
Yeah. So you guys fly from Ireland to Orlando.
And we got upgraded on the way there. There was some mix up and they upgraded us to business. And it was around the time of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. It was like what everyone watching TV. And at the start
and
of
who's going on this trip?
Me, my mom, and her husband.
Okay.
But they have Fresh Prince of Bel Air when he's flying in the opening credits. Mm-hmm. He has a sip of orange juice out of a champagne glass. I remember doing that and being like, this is the best moment of my entire life. Plus, on the way there, I think this was that trip, my mom was like, you're talking about tape cassette player? Mm-hmm. My mom goes, listen, we're in the airport. She went, you get yourself whatever tape you want. And that's so I, you know, to keep me amused on the flight. And Eminem had just brought out, I think it was My Name Is, or a real Slim Shady. And the album, so I just knew the single. Because we would get stuff a little bit later than you guys. It was like a movie that came out here. We would be a couple of months maybe down the line before we would get it. So people had heard of Eminem, but that was about it. So I got that Slim Shady LP album and I put the headphones on. And we'd never really heard that kind of stuff, like the swearing and what he was talking about. And there's that skit at the start where he's murdering his wife. And I'm sitting first class, the champagne glass with orange juice. And I'm making eye contact with my mom. And she's probably like, God love him. Like he's listening to, you know, the Spice Girls or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And she has no idea what is going on in here. And I'm hearing words I've never heard before. And I listened to that the whole trip. So it was incredible, like Disneyland, the whole thing, Orlando, and it's like a sensory overload in terms of just even like the food. Like I walked into a Golden Corral and I was like, it'll never get better than this. Do you know what I mean? I was like nothing.
Yeah, Golden Corral,
you could take me to like a Michelin starred restaurant in Paris, suck my dick. I walked into the Golden Corral, I was like, what do you mean I can go back up?
You mean I can go as many times as I want, really?
Yeah. I was like, when will the food?
I can go back up.
I was like, guys, when will this food run out? And they were like, it does not run out. It was incredible. I'd never seen people as fat before. Like, I'd never seen that. I was like, I don't know if this is part of the attraction, like part of Disney, but these people. But it was just walking on International Drive. And I've always been big into like American culture, like some of the sport and stuff like that. So I remember in International Drive, there was a place called Sports Dominator, big sports store. And I had like, if memory serves me, I had a giant NFL player and a giant MLB player. Sports Dominator.
Let's see if we can
International Drive. If you can, this will really take me back. Oh my God. So nowadays, if you go into our sports stores.
What is this?
It's heaven, man.
Sports Dominator. Is this like?
It's a big like outlet. Big sporting goods outlet.
Okay, it's a big sporting good outlet.
But back then, we could never have got like NBA tops, NFL gear. You just couldn't get it in Ireland back then. Now we can. We kind of get it all. But I remember walking into this place and being like, I want everything. And I got a Charlotte Hornets top with Rice.
Glenn Rice. Yeah.
And I was just in heaven. I walked around this place every day because our hotel was near it. And I would walk in there for like 1 hour a day and just.
I had no idea. This is just a massive like, sporting goods store.
Yeah, the sneakers would be different. Everything was different to what we had. And it was just an eye opener. Like Irish sports stores would carry like maybe some soccer gear, some rugby gear. But we didn't have this kind of stuff. Wow. And it was just incredible.
Tell me about, let's share some stories of football growing up here for you.
So I played from when I was maybe like 6 or 7.
You've ever been on a good one that won it all or anything?
So my local team would have been a team called Hollywood FC. So that's like my like home team, if you like. But when I moved away, it's just not practice. It's like 60-minute drive from where I live. So they were really good, like back in the day. I'm talking when I was maybe 16, 17. Mm-hmm. They were great. And then when I got more interested in comedy, I was I just couldn't commit like as much. So I've retired like 4 times and then I go back to it.
Oh,
I just went back a couple of months ago at the age of 36, played my first game back. And I was like, this will be incredible. Injured in the first game and now I'm doing like rehab every day out here. I've got the insoles. But like, to tell you the level, like, I play. So like, the stuff I hear when I go to play football is funnier than anything I hear in a comedy club. Stuff you hear in the sidelines, stuff you hear parents and coaches say. I remember my dad taking me to watch it was actually Man United were playing in Belfast. So Manchester United brought over a team. This is maybe 1996. And they were playing like an Irish League select. So our best local players. And there was a guy shouting at Man United in the stands near us. And he was swearing. He was calling everybody a bastard. You useless bastard. The whole game. And a dad near us, put his arm on his son's shoulder. And he said, I'll never forget this. He went, watch your language, you cheeky cunt. And just left it sitting there. And it took like 3 seconds for everyone to start to realize, like, it's quite hypocritical of you to say that. But stuff, my friend tells me a story about it. He was like showboating in a game. And an older manager in the other team asked him if he thought he was Marin Madonna. He's like, do you think you're Marin Madonna? Like, people get every name wrong. But we once played against a team called Belfast Deaf United, who are based in Belfast and deaf, and the whole team. And it was like a preseason tournament.
How do they
fucking
hear a whistle?
They can't.
They just play till they realize the ball stopping and shit.
A lot of hand signals. and we played against them, and the game had just kicked off, and they were pretty good. They're still going, as far as I know, as a club. And our coach shouted out like 2 minutes into the game, he had a brainwave, and he's like, lads, just start saying what you're gonna do, like, and then everyone will know. So we were like, I don't know if it's the best idea I've ever heard or the worst idea, but everyone's like, let's give it a shot. So you would have the ball and you'd be like, I'm going to try and cross this back post. If anyone wants to try and like maybe head level, if anyone wants to try and like get their head to it, that's where I'll be kicking it. They beat us 4-1. We got beat 4-1.
They beat the death.
4-1. They fucking annihilated us. Because they can lip read, they told us after. we really played into their hands. They're just watching us say what's coming next.
Great.
But I.
You ever have any problems with the gangs, the soccer, the football gangs?
Like ultras?
Hooligans?
There is, like, yeah, the
I want to ask you this because I experienced it going to Europe for the month. So we had, like I said, we had a chaperone or whatever. These were all younger guys that played ball and stuff. And they told us two things. So we went to an Ajax game.
Yeah, great.
Saw Ajax play and we saw Chelsea play. Maybe they played each other. Would that happen?
They could play in the Champions League, maybe.
We went to two games. But that Ajax, when I remember just seeing the pitch and being like, oh man, this thing looks like it's 120 yards wide. Like it looked massive.
Yep.
And they tell us before we go in there that the teams that, you know, we know about the gangs or whatever, the hooligans and shit. And they tell us about the Chelsea smile. You know about the Chelsea smile?
The razors?
Yeah. Is that real?
I would say it happened back in the day, but I would say it's become
to like one guy.
I'd say it's become like a little bit of a myth problem.
There it is.
So there was movies out, that first guy there. There was movies out back in the day. Mm-hmm. Elijah Wood is in a movie called Green Street about football hooligans in the UK. And the main guy's Charlie Hunnam in it, who is from Newcastle in England, but this cannot movie. Do an English accent in it. It is a horrific film, but worth watching. But football hooligan culture got like very glamorized and you would hear a lot of urban myths about it. But they did have big issues with it, especially in the 80s in England. But if you were going to see like football like back home, there could be a like...
Because we're like, are they just trying to scare us and keep us in line? But he told us a story. So they told us about curb stomping, you know.
Where you bite the curb and jump in someone's
kick
head.
You the bag of the head. That's why we were like, we've all heard down before. That kind of sounds like bullshit. But then he tells us about the Chelsea smile. We're like, what? And he said... He had a friend, here's what he said, held one arm, one leg, and then they sliced his mouth and then they punched him in the nuts. And then when you scream, your face just tears up. This is what they tell a 16-year-old kid over there. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And was curious because I've, you know, we hear about, we see, you know, they love to show the riots and all that stuff. But you guys, even youth, you never had trouble with that?
No. You would get like a little bit of it at like the top level, but nothing like that. Like people throw stones and stuff, maybe a fight.
Before we record, you mentioned that all schools, you have to wear uniforms.
Oh, like we think it's mental that American school, you're just chilling in your own clothes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to wear uniform from the age of like four. Now it gets.
Does it always look the same?
No, it gets more formal as it goes on. So see that second image in red there?
Uh-huh.
That's primary school. So that's from when you are like four until you're
every kid
11.
In Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always red and gray.
No. It's whatever the school is. So okay, all schools all have different colors, but that's like that's primary school. That's from the ages of four to like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're see the group of the diverse group there. Yep. That's
that Harry Potter stuff is middle school.
So that's like, yeah. So which is weird because at the time it doesn't feel weird, but it's like a miniature businessman look.
Yeah.
You're like wearing a full suit. We wear a full suit to school every day and I fucking hate it.
What do you do for gym and Pete Phys Ed or what?
You would turn it, you would
hang it up and go put
Yeah.
Damn, that's a pain in the ass.
It is,
that every day.
But we
high school is a full suit.
Full suit.
And what do the ladies
smart
wear?
Smart shoes. They long wear same thing but skirt and like black
pants suit.
No, they wear like skirts.
But the top.
Yeah, tops is exactly the same. It's crazy, and I don't know whether there might be something in it, you know, because you do feel in your head, you're like, right, I'm going to school here, you know. So
well, you also don't have the kids over there, the rich kids that have the name brand stuff, and then the poor kids
definitely,
or the, you know, less definitely. Fortunate want that stuff, and
absolutely.
They're going out stealing it and robbing you for Jordans and yeah, shit.
That's actually coincidental. That's the closest like girls' school to where I lived. So we would have gone to discos with these girls. So I went to an all-boys school, and we would have had discos every couple of months
mm-hmm.
with the girls' schools. And they were wild because you're holding everybody back from it.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was a free-for-all.
I'll bet.
It was insane.
I know your dad still lives in the childhood home. Do you remember any addresses from growing up where people no longer live?
Yeah.
Let's look one up.
With my mom, we used to live in Halstein Drive, which is Halstein. This is just outside like Belfast City Centre. Yeah, yeah. See that house maybe with the brown door to the right? That could well be it.
This one dead ahead?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the house?
Yeah, that could be it.
And that's your little, you have a little front yard area like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
whose house was this?
This was my mom's house.
And was that your room? Whose room is that up there?
I don't remember. Then we moved to, when my mom got remarried, we moved to a different house. But I remember this house because there on the corner, there was a like shop. You would call it like convenience store, but mm-hmm. there was a shop. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that used to be a shop.
Huh?
Which we would call like a newsagent. That's the kind of shop it was. So sold newspapers and sweets and milk and stuff. And I used to call that the chalky shop because I couldn't say chocolate yet.
Mm.
And I liked getting chocolate from there. So that was the chalky shop. So that's in East Belfast. I could show you the house I grew up in, but my dad still lives there and he would fucking love it. If you showed his house and people knew where it was and he just had people calling in,
he
would
really
love
would,
it.
We can. Yeah, I don't want to dox anybody. He'd be out in the street getting punched there.
Type in 21 West Link, Hollywood.
There it is.
So this was my granny's house. This is where, that one with the white extension at the front. So this is where I would say I kind of grew up. This is where the stand-up show I'm doing this year is called Full House, and it's about when that house was full of people.
Mm-hmm.
And these uncles, cousins, everybody. And we call that like a terraced housing, but like terraced, not terrorist.
Yeah.
But where all the houses are joined together.
Yeah, and we
see
call
that,
it row homes.
See that, what you call an entry in between?
Yeah,
like that alleyway in between? Like, played in there so much growing up. If we were getting chased, like around this housing estate, if we were getting chased, you ran down there and hit down the
cut
end.
Through?
Yeah, you could just turn left at the end and you mm-hmm. couldn't be seen. But that's my granny's house. That is where some of the best memories of my life are.
Because
we would just... Everyone went there because a lot
Sam,
of my family lived in the
360?
Same street.
Just curious.
A lot of my family lived in the same street.
These motherfuckers got grass over here showing off.
If you looked at that, like probably when you were playing college soccer, you'd be like, that's the best surface I've ever seen.
I was going to say, that's a good one.
So this was my granny. So this was like a mile from where we lived, and all my family lived in the same street, and everyone just went to my granny. It was like an open house. We were all, up until not that long ago, everyone who lived here, and in so many of the, we call like social housing in Hollywood, Belfast, places like that, your key would be in your door all day, morning till night.
Is that right?
Morning till
nobody's
night.
Nobody's messing with you there or anything?
No, no. You never would have locked your front door.
Wow.
So you would just call in with your aunties, uncles, friends. You just walk in. That's the way it was.
That's great.
Real sense of community. And around the corner from there is where I started playing soccer on just like a grass pitch that would just sit in the middle of the estate. So that was,
Hell yeah.
So many great memories in there.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for doing this, Shane Todd.
No problem.
This is a good one, man. You're a good dude, brother. Please promote there. Promote everything you like, your special, your shows, all that stuff.
Yeah, ShaneToddComedy.com for dates that I've got coming up. I'm going to be touring early 2026. Shane Todd on YouTube. You'll find me on there, specials. That's where my podcast, Tea With Me podcast, is. And thanks so much for this. I was saying that this is the first time I've been in an American podcast studio and done a pod. And
it's the first two American pods.
First two.
And first time sitting in a way back, bro.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's
we're knocking
great.
A lot of here.
Don't That's great.
Bro. We're knocking a lot of them. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.